All right, we have been talking about, I'm going to go a little bit different direction tonight, but it's very important. We've been talking about speaking in tongues, the function of it. Tonight we're going to talk about different function of tongues. I've never really spent a lot of time teaching about it because, you know, the main, how can I say, the main function that we are, that we operate in is in our, how can I say, and it doesn't really matter. The main operation that you're going to deal with when we're in regards to speaking in tongues is going to be your private prayer time. Okay? But it's good to understand the other aspects of speaking in tongues. And there's different functions of speaking in tongues besides just your private prayer time. Okay? And there are definitely benefits of that. But I think that what happens is, and what happens with prayer, the topic of prayer sometimes is that, especially the denominational world, they mix prayer all together, right? So when they come and they'll say, hey, let's pray, I'm thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? Because you haven't told me anything, right? People will say, well, just pray for me. Okay, for what? I don't know what that means. And people will just take that in the denominational realm and just say, well, I'm just going to pray however I feel fit. Well, you and I probably aren't buzzing on the same page, right? Because the Bible says, make your requests be known unto God. I have no idea what you need prayer for. So again, that's something where, but it doesn't really matter, you know. And then you got some group of people over here, well, if it's God's will, you know, then they start pulling the God's will card. And then, you know, other people over here are praying something else. And it's like, well, I need a job. Okay, you know, I don't need to know if it's God's will or not, because he wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers, right? If I don't work, then I'm worse than an infidel if I don't provide for my family. So I don't need to pray if it's God's will or not. He wants me to be employed. He wants me to be blessed. He wants me to provide for my own, right? So again, when we get into these areas of prayer and, you know, even whatever it is, you know, it means different things to different people. And often we're not in the same lane here, and we're not agreeing together, yeah. Right? So, you know, I've been in denominational churches before. I visited family and different things, and you see it's like, well, somebody stand up. How many unspecial spoken requests do we have? And half the people throw their hands up in the air, and I'm like, you haven't... Nobody knows what you're believing for. Nobody has any idea if you get it. I mean, you don't even know you get it, because again, it's these buzzwords that we use, and it's more, how can I say, religion, that we begin to just do these things and we have no, but there are different, and especially with tongues, there are different functions of tongues that we do. But again, the main, how can I say, avenue that you're going to operate in is your private prayer time. Okay? There are some other things we're going to get into it. But let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, some of you maybe understand some of this information. Some of you don't. So, again, if you understand, sit back. Just still take in. Amen? So, you know, we see there in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the first three chapters, the Apostle Paul's writing the Corinthians, and he says, hey, you know, I have basically planted, Apollos is watered, but God gives the increase. What it means is, you know, I came along, I began to teach this doctrine, Apollos came behind me, which is a gift of teacher, and he basically reiterated some of those things that I taught, but God brings the increase, right? So sometimes when we hear things, we've heard it before, we still need to hear. You have no idea. The years I sat under, when I've listened to Brother Hagin, I listened to people before. You listen to Brother Hagin, and every time you come, you know, open your Bibles to the 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse, and you're like, dear Lord, how many times are we going to go to the same scripture again? And then other times, like, open your Bibles to Mark, the 11th chapter, the 22nd verse, and, you know, it's like, my goodness. I mean, I got it memorized, but I didn't get it. Right? Because he would dig something new out that I've never heard before. Right? And he obviously knew it. And he'd tell us sometimes, you know, different times in teachings and stuff. And he's like, you know what? I'll stop when you get it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that hurts. Right? And then Brother Hagin would say things like, well, you know, I just feel like I don't know anything sometimes. Great, where does that leave me, Brother Hagin? Right? If you feel like you don't know anything, then where does that leave me? But anyway, but it's just one of those things we're always learning, right? And we need to, again, learn things and hear them again. And again, some of the scriptures we're reading, to begin with, we've heard before. I've read them, feels like 100 times. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now he's speaking to apostles here that have already received the Holy Spirit as meaning the power of the Holy Spirit. They were born again at the end of Luke. If you want to know something that's very interesting, here's something for you. When you read Luke, the best thing to do is to read Luke and go right into Acts, because Luke wrote book of Acts and Luke, okay? So Acts picks up right after Luke. So it flows really nicely together. So when you're reading that, just go from Luke right into Acts. And that'll, it's a lot of make sense. It goes, it'll make sense. So we see there at the end of Luke, it says that the Holy Spirit breathed into the apostles or the disciples at that time. And at that point, they were born again. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, but ye shall receive, Jesus is speaking here, telling the disciples, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto both me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth. So he said, stop, don't go anywhere, wait for this experience. Let's skip to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is the day of Pentecost. And verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now that's very good, to be all in one accord, right? They were all singleness of mind. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it was filled the house where they're all sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as fire, and it sat upon a few of them. Those specially gifted. No, it says sat upon each of them. Every person this experience that fell on, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Verse 4, and they were all, everybody say all. So every person here was filled with the Spirit, Holy Ghost, and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, okay? So we see here the function of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. Number one, it is for a personal prayer life, but then also, too, it is a corporate setting also, right? So each one of them received this experience at this point. And it was in a public setting, so they were all publicly, they were all filled. So again, it is for them individually, and it was a corporate prayer meeting, wasn't it? Yep. Skip down to verse 6. And now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man heard them speaking in their own language. Here we go. We're going to come back to this. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled. Now, they went out and they're speaking this tongues, aren't they? So number one, they're having a prayer. They're having it's for the prayer time. They're all praying individually, right? Every person got it. Then obviously they're in a corporate prayer meeting, so they're together. They go out in the streets and they're praying this. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? Now remember, this is the day of Pentecost. So there's out-of-towners in town, right? Okay, they're not all speaking the same language. Hello? They're there celebrating the day of Pentecost. This Hebrew holiday. And now he goes on, verse 8, and how we hear every man in our tongue wherein we were born. And it goes, the Perennians and the Medes and the Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome and Jews and the proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, we do hear them speak in our tongues. Here we go. Demonic influences, right? No, wonderful works of God, right? So one of the functions of tongues can be speaking things out in someone else's language, right? Now, this isn't going to be something in everyday experience because we see this happen pretty much this time. We don't see a lot of it, a pattern in the Bible, but it can happen, right? I remember one time this lady was, this minister was talking, and he said one time this lady was minister, this one, they were at prayer time, they had a prayer time. We're going to get into this here a little bit more. But this function was in operation in this meeting, and I remember this minister talking about this lady began to speak out in tongues. At the end of the service, a man came up and said, "You spoke perfect Aramaic, and you spoke the entire gospel in Aramaic." Wow. She's like, "Well, I don't speak Aramaic, right? I don't speak any of those languages." What was God doing? He was using her prayer language. She didn't understand, right? But opened it up, like in this scripture here, so that people could understand the gospel in their language. Of course, he understood English, but what woke him up was that tongues in his native language. Yeah. See, God can do what he wants to, right? He can. I remember Doc Barkley one time was in Africa, and he began to speak in tongues, and this person heard it in his language, right? So one of the avenues of speaking in tongues can be speaking in a language that may be a native language to someone else. Now, people will say, well, you know, speaking in tongues is the devil. Every time we hear tongues being spoke, it either glorifies God, it gives God glory, gives someone help or direction or something, it edifies someone. Every time the Holy Spirit, no matter what function or manifestation we're going to read here in a minute, it does edify people and it helps people, right? I always take people to Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9. When you see Simon the sorcerer, it says he bewitched the people. When there's witchcraft involved and the Spirit of God is not, the people are oppressed. They're depressed, they're oppressed. There's this heaviness on people. We see when Philip the evangelist came into town, there in Samaria, then what happened? Then it says there was great joy in that city, right? And then the Holy Spirit came after that with Peter and James. They followed up and with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there was great joy in the city. So anytime the Holy Spirit shows up, there's always great joy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. So we're going to see praying in tongues is for your private prayer time. We're going to more about the private prayer time. But that's mainly the reason I speak on tongues and the teaching is here is because the primary reason you're going to be, you know, you're going to be speaking in tongues. I mean, you're not going to be speaking often in front of, you know, maybe in groups of people and, you know, giving conferences and prayer time. You know, that's not normally the function. Besides, let me tell you this, besides the way you want to practice is if you can do these things that we're talking about at home. You practice at home, right? Mm-hmm. You can pray and interpret yourself. Mm-hmm. You can do these things, right? It's just sometimes people don't do it, and then they get to church, and I'm like, I'm going to try it at church. And then it's like, oops. You do these things at home, right? You pray in tongues. You can do these things. And, on prayer, the prayer time Wednesday night, you know, when you're praying and things like that, you should be able to, you should hear from God, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, expect things from him in your private prayer time, right? I mean, I remember just, you know, it doesn't mean you have to have this big glossy vision and, you know, all of these super, you know, what it means is, you know, anytime you come in connection, well, it's like when Adrian and I are together, you know, she's usually talking to me and I'm usually listening to her. So, you know, when we're together, she's talking to me, right? And I'm listening a lot. And to other people in our house, there's a lot of conversation. But the point is, when you're around somebody, you're going to have a conversation, right? I mean, it's kind of weird to like, just do all the talking to the Holy Ghost, and then, okay, I'm done, bye. You know, he's like, wait, okay, never mind. So we need to be able to expect to hear from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And it says, this is the, in fact, I want to pull this up in the Bible. Now, this is where some confusion comes in. This is the, what we call the nine gifts of the Spirit, all right? These are the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And I'm going to start here in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Everybody say word of wisdom. That's one. Another, say word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. Did you know you can have a special gift of faith sometimes in operation? Bless you. Another one, you can have gifts of healing. You can have working of miracles. Another is prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. Another is discerning of spirits. Another is diverse kinds of tongues. Everybody say diverse kinds of tongues. This is the one we're going to be talking about. And then it says, and to another, interpretation of tongues. Say interpretation of tongues. So often these last two, go hand in hand. Now, here's where some people get confused and they'll say, well, see, that's a gift. Yeah, of course, salvation's a gift, right? I mean, baptism of the Holy Spirit's a gift. They're all gifts, of course, right? There's no debating that. But then it'll say here that the Spirit gives utterance, right? The Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit to every man with all. Yes, these are gifts, and it's not something where necessarily you're going to be operating in these 24/7, right? Because, for example, in your private prayer time, in when you're praying in tongues, that's something you can pray anytime you want to, right? But try having a working of miracle anytime you want, right? We want to have those things. Hello? But what it says here is it says diverse kinds of tongues. Well, that is something, for example, here maybe myself or Adrian or someone will get up and they'll speak a tongues. And then after that, it says interpretation of tongues, right? What that means is you get up and you give a public exhortation, you give a public tongues, and then, you know what? God doesn't really want you hanging, stopping right there, but he wants people to be blessed and edified, right? That's the whole purpose of these in operation. There's a diverse kinds of tongues, so you're just speaking. There's some kind of a function of speaking in the spirit realm. Then there is an interpretation of that tongue. Why? Because God, we're going to find out some more scriptures here in a minute, God just doesn't want you to stop there, because then people are like, okay, right? Now, just in your prayer time, sometimes you're going to pray in tongues. You're not going to understand yourself because you're just building yourselves up, right? You're praying things out. You're praying mysteries. We've already talked about that. But in a public setting, we're going to find out too, some scriptures here, that God just doesn't want to just ramble on tongues while we're all together, because Apostle Paul will find out here in a minute, it doesn't edify people, right? It doesn't give us direction. It doesn't give us any kind of revelation sometimes. It's just a bunch of tongues, and what am I going to do with that, right? So in this, there are gifts of the Spirit, and often these two go together, the diverse kinds of tongues and to another interpretation of tongues. That's why sometimes maybe I'll give us a tongues, and then I'll have interpretation. Notice how it doesn't say translation. Right. It says interpretation. It's very important. Right. Why is that important? Because God is giving you the meaning. That doesn't mean you're going to have the exact translation. It means an interpretation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians, we've been over this several times, but this is the chapter. This is a great chapter right here that the Apostle Paul starts diving into the different functions of tongues. And this is where the confusion gets totally crazy, right? Let's start in verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. It says, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Okay? What does prophesy mean? Prophesy just means an utterance is given to help be a blessing to people. Right? Everybody always thinks prophecy is like foretelling the future or anything. No, that's not it at all. Prophecy is just simply giving an utterance by the Holy Spirit. It's just God is giving you an utterance to speak out, whether that's something that may be coming in the future, maybe it's a word of wisdom, maybe it's a word of knowledge, or, you know, maybe it's just some kind of edification just to bless people, right? Because that's really what we're here for in the church body. It's not just so that people can get up and just do spiritual stuff. It's that so that you walk away refreshed, better equipped. When you walk out, you're better than when you came in.
That's right.
I mean, that's it. So, verse 2, it says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Okay, you've been around it all. We know this, right? But it's always good to read it again. But we continue. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Brent. We just read how those people understood their tongues, right? Yes, we did. And that's one function of it. That is not what the Apostle Paul's talking about here, is he? He's not. Let's go on here. Verse 3, but he that prophesies speaks unto men, here we go, to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, verse 2, he talks about when we speak in an unknown tongue, what? We speak in mysteries unto God. Now, verse 3, he's honing this in and he said, prophesying. What does prophesying mean? It means, again, we're speaking something out, so that people can understand it. And what's he saying here? It meant to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, right? When I speak in an unknown tongue, I mean, for the most part, other than the situation we just talked about, when I speak in an unknown tongue, what am I doing? I'm building myself up, right? Okay, and that's what he's talking about here. When you speak in an unknown tongue, you are building yourself up. Here we go. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 5, I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except the interpret, that the church may receive edifying. What is Apostle Paul here saying? Well, he's saying, number one, I want everybody to speak in tongues. But really what's more beneficial is for you to prophesy, because people in the church will understand you and they'll be blessed because of it. Do you understand? Now, people will twist this around, especially in denominational church, and they'll say things like, see, the Apostle Paul, he said you should prophesy. Well, I got something to tell those people. How often are you prophesying in the church? All the anti-tongues people, they're not prophesying in the church, I guarantee you that. That ain't happening. That's just a cop-out to get around this stuff. So there's no way that the Apostle Paul is saying that tongues is not important. He is saying, he just said it right here, I wish you all, everybody spoke in tongues, but when it comes to church meeting, I'd rather you prophesy, meaning give something from the Spirit of God so people can understand it, right? Because then we can walk away, right? Verse 6, now, brethren, I come unto you speaking with tongues. What shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Right? So he's saying you need to have some information. You need to have some revelation on these things. Let's skip down to verse 12. Even so, as much for as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. See, the Apostle Paul is really focused on we need to bless people. They need to walk away from the church. They need to be touched by God. They need to do these things, not just come motor mouth in tongues for an hour or two and then go home. Because, again, yeah, you may feel really good at the end of the day, but people around you may not get anything. Hello? Here we go, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So again, the whole point here is that the Apostle Paul says, nothing wrong with praying in tongues, but at the end of the day, we need to have something so that people can walk away with something solid when they go home. Okay? Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my, here we go, understanding's unfruitful. So it builds your spirit man up, but your understanding, just there's nothing there. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding, I will also sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding also. Now, these activities are things you can do at home, right? You can sing in the spirit, you can sing with the understanding, you can sing songs you know, you can sing songs of the spirit you don't know, that your mind doesn't understand, right? So you can pray in tongues, you can pray in the natural, you can sing in the natural, and you can sing in tongues. These are things that we want to practice at home, don't we? And to go home and sing and build ourselves up. Verse 18 may seem a little dry, but we're going to go somewhere here in a minute. Just hold on. Verse 18, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's the Apostle Paul here. He says, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. What's he saying here? This is, again, this is where many people will fight and say, see, tongues, Paul said, but they missed the previous scripture, the verse that says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. But what the Apostle Paul is saying in a setting, I'd rather have somebody understand something and walk away with some revelation rather than me just getting up here, motor and mouth and 10,000 words in tongues and nobody get anything. Right? And then verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So the Apostle Paul is sitting here saying, you know what? Tongues can be a sign to those who don't believe. But prophesying is actually for believers. And what is prophesying? Prophesying often can be us speaking in tongues and giving the interpretation, right? So again, you know, and this is where some people, they get off. How can I say? Let's look at verse 26 here. They'll get off and they'll understand some of these things. So the Apostle Paul here, well, this is really good. I think this will clear things up. Verse 26. Howbeit, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done edifying. Now, I want to let you know about the Corinthians. You got to understand some things about these people, the Corinthians. Okay? These people were heathens. All right? They became born again. They were into hedonism. They were absolute pagans. And these people, now, this is the same chap, the same book, where they came in and they would come in and take communion. They drink all the wine and eat all the bread and get drunk. And Apostle Paul's like, you guys, really? You're eating all the wine. You're eating everything else. You guys are just out of control. But guess what? They're having manifestations like crazy. They're having manifestations like crazy. And the Apostle Paul was just trying to put some order into this, right? Because why is he talking about chapter 12? Because what are they doing? I mean, they're seeing all these manifestations in the church. All they're doing is coming in and praying and praying in tongues. Paul's like, well, that's great, but nobody's getting anything out of it, right? I mean, praying in tongues is wonderful, but, you know, we got to have some teaching once in a while, guys. I'm sorry. You know, you got to kind of understand some things about the Spirit here. This is where Paul's coming from, right? And so he goes on and he says, verse 27, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or the most by three, that by course, and let one interpret. See, they've been coming in. Everybody's got a prophecy. Can you imagine everybody coming in? I got something to say. No, I got something to say. No, I got something to say. No, listen to this, guys. And Paul's trying to bring some order back to this. And then he says, verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. But what he's really saying is everything's getting out of control here and we need to have some order. Now, I think sometimes we need some, definitely need some, you know, some wildfire sometimes. Amen. We just need to have some Holy Ghost. And then verse 33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as all the church of the saints. So, and there's one scripture here that I think it's really good. And it kind of sums everything up here. Verse 23. Let's go back to 23. I read 22. But this is very good. Verse 23 in chapter 14 says, if therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues. Here we go. And this is where the denominational folks get crazy about. And there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that you are mad? So what here's the Apostle Paul is saying this, that when you're coming into a place and you have all these people who have no idea what's going on, and all you're doing is speaking in tongues, and they don't understand what's going on, they're going to think you're crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what the Apostle Paul is saying is we need to have teaching on this. We need to have some things because we've got these people coming in. They're going to think you're nuts. If you're speaking in tongues all the time, they have no idea. And he's like, they're going to be right. So you see how we're, when we do speak in tongues, again, it doesn't mean we don't, when we don't, you know, speak in tongues, but what it does mean is we need teaching with that too. Apostle Paul is very big on teaching. We need to have a revelation. We need to have understanding on this. We need to take time to teach people about tongues. Because if they don't understand things, they're going to come in here, they're going to think you're crazy, and I completely agree with them. How many people that have thought, you know, tongues are crazy? You know? Why do people think tongues are crazy? Because they don't understand. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's like, people need teaching so they can take this blessing and run with it. Mm-hmm. Too many people are scared of this,
right,
and they shouldn't be, because it's something from the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen?
So, we're seeing here that through all of this, Paul, the Apostle Paul said that, number one, in the church setting, he wants everybody to pray in tongues. There's a definite blessing for that. But when we come together, often the focus needs to be being a blessing to people, edifying people, teaching people, giving them revelation on the subject, right? But there's also for prayer time. So, you know, like when you come together as prayer time in a corporate setting, there is a corporate prayer time. We're going to look at that also. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Acts chapter 13, we're going to read about it was Saul back then, him and the teddy bear. I like to call the teddy bear Barnabas. He was just a sweet guy. When you read about, you know, anything about the Apostle Paul was a pistol. I mean, that guy, short, bald, he was just a little fiery guy. And then you've got him, it was totally God. I mean, Mark went with him sometimes in some of the missionary journeys, but Barnabas, I mean, Barnabas was just this, like, loving, he was just so oozing with just the love of God. And then he got Paul over here. He's just a spitfire guy all the time, you know. And then there was friction between Paul and, or, you know, later it was Paul and Barnabas. And but you see that their one of their missionary journeys starts here in Acts chapter 13. And it says in verse 2, well, there was a prayer meeting with, you know, different, and it says here, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereof I called them. And verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Here we go, verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Times of prayer meetings in when we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will do things and speak to people in those times of prayer. That's why it's important to have times of prayer, corporate times of prayer in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Again, when we're in a church setting and there's sometimes not a lot of people that understand these things, that's why when I've ever been around people, other denominations, I don't go out and just start, you know, motor mouth. And why is that detrimental here? Because what it does, often it will shut off the communication valve with you with other people. Okay? And often it's not a trying to prove who's right or wrong. It all comes down to how can I show this person scripture? How can I be a voice in their life so that hopefully they'll be able to receive from me to receive the Holy Spirit? Amen? And we're trying to beat people up and, you know, I'm going to do this. And I mentioned before I had a guy that I was doing street evangelism with in New Orleans, and we're talking with people. And, I mean, you know, 99% of the people on, you know, Bourbon Street or in New Orleans, they don't know about this stuff, all right? They're just into doing drugs and drinking and whatever, you know, just sinning it up as much as they can. And so when I'm talking with somebody and I got somebody next to me going, you know, praying in tongues, I'm like, dude, please go. Okay, you are distracting, right? We want the benefit of the Holy Spirit. We're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. But again, like Apostle Paul says, people are going to think we're nuts. And so just keep that in mind when you are ministering to people or talking to people about these things. That. So again, the Holy Spirit during times of corporate prayer is going to speak things out, you know, separate people, put callings and giftings on people and do things during these times of prayer, just like the book, just like the Acts chapter 2. When those things happen, we see God doing things, the Holy Spirit doing things when people are praying in tongues. So that is an avenue often that he will open things up, begin to speak things out to people, whether it's a corporate setting. And then a few more things as we close up, Jude 20. So we know that, excuse me, first of all, again, it's a personal prayer time. Second of all, it can be used for people who do not understand language. God can use you to speak truths to people in different languages, right? Because we saw it in the book of Acts. It does happen. I've known people that it has happened before. Also, too, we know that that tongues and interpretation go together in a public church service, right? And what it means is when you're praying things out, there's the nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is tongues and interpretation go hand in hand. Why is that? Because like the Apostle Paul said, he wants to have people receive and have revelation on things, not just praying in tongues for 2 hours and then nobody understand it, right? So there are things where when we pray in a public setting, we pray in tongues, often there's an interpretation. And then the Apostle Paul says there needs to be elders, there needs to be some mature Christians out there, preferably, you know, that can judge it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get things like people pray in tongues and then somebody interprets it, you know, God says you're all going to be dead, you're all going to burn up in flames. Okay, wait a minute here. Not really what God's all about. I'm sorry. Let's pump the brakes. It's sort of reverse here. I appreciate your zeal, but I don't think that's where we're going tonight, all right? You're all perishing flames! Blah! Maybe not. All right? So again, that's where you need to interpret and have on the inside, you're going to judge like, that's a little bit off. And that's where Apostle Paul was said. It's like the Corinthians didn't have the character yet. They were just baby Christians. They're into all of these spiritual things because you got to understand, these people were into heathenism. And they were into you know, all kinds of demonic activity. I mean, they worship gods and everything else too. So, you know, they've got all of these influences they're dealing with. And the Apostle Paul's trying to straighten things out and bring order to things. So when you're reading the Bible, you got to understand these things. Like the Ephesians. You know, the Ephesians were not the most sanctified people in the world. And so, you know, there were things going on that we don't want to talk about a little bit here. But you know, Paul's dealing with these things, right? He's dealing with people that are dealing with, you know, worshiping gods and doing things that are coming into this or into very terrible lifestyles. And the Apostle Paul's trying to straighten things out. He's trying to bring some order. And so Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost." This is the primary one. Again, when we're praying in tongues, we're building ourselves up, aren't we? We're doing that. And so again, praying in tongues is an avenue to build yourself up, to have revelation, right? Brother Hagin said, the gateway into the supernatural is praying in the Spirit. It is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I did not really walk in any kind of supernatural things until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what triggered things in my life. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, it is an avenue and a doorway, again, to be built up. A few more scriptures here before we close. And these are the characteristic of the Holy Spirit, okay? So when we're praying in tongues, these are often things that are that Jesus talks about in John chapter 16. These are things that are going to manifest often while you're praying in the Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13. And it says, Jesus speaking, howbeit he, the Spirit of truth. Everybody say the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost. So what does that mean? When you are praying in the Holy Ghost, truths are going to come out, right? Because that's who he is. You're going to have experiences like that. He will guide you into all truth. So when you're praying in tongues, you know, you shouldn't be getting weird things unless it's things that the Holy Spirit's showing you to pray out. But you're going to have all truths. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he will, what? Show you things to come. That's why I keep saying, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, when you're praying on these things, expect the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. If you have questions, he's got answers. What's that question? Or was that commercial? Some kind of commercial, isn't it? Right? People will say, well, speak in the tongues of the devil. Well, because the Holy Spirit here tells me, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, he only talks about Jesus, magnifies the ministry of Jesus. And it says, he shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. And here we go, verse 15, and all things that the Father has are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So what's this? The Holy Spirit is going to reveal things, isn't he? He's going to reveal things to us. And how are we going to get that revelation? Through prayer and the Word. Right? Prayer and the Word. John chapter 14, verse 16. Again, Jesus reveals the character. He reveals the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Got to understand it. That the ministry of the Holy Spirit does not deviate from Jesus. And Jesus gives us in chapter 14 and chapter 15 of John, one of the main things that Jesus leaves, he talks about the love walk, and he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit when he leaves. John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter. You know what? When you're praying the Holy Ghost, there should be comfort. There should be peace. Mm-hmm. Right? There are times where, I mean, I don't know if you notice this, those of on prayer call on Wednesday night. By the time I'm done with prayer, I'm at peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? My night can be blowing. My whole day can blow up and be an absolute train wreck. But by the time I'm done praying, anytime I'm spending time with the Holy Ghost, I have peace at the end of it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just like, oh, I just feel like $1 million bucks.
Yeah,
we
do feel like $1 million bucks.
Well, Jesus told us he's a comforter, right? We should have comfort in that. So one of the aspects of spending time with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, we're going to have peace. We're going to have comfort. We can see answers and revelation, just like we see there in Acts chapter 13 with Paul, with Saul, later Paul, and Barnabas, right? There was a calling, ascending forth. We see here that a comforter in what he may abide with you forever, even the what spirit of truth. Here's the spirit of truth again. We're going to have truth when we're spending time with the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, doesn't know him either, but you know him, for he what? Dwell with you and shall be in you. We talked about this weeks before, a few weeks ago, right? I will not leave you, what? Comfortless. I will come to you. You know what? He said he would come to us. What that means is Anytime we engage the Holy Spirit, He's already right there. I like to think of it this way. It's just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says the Holy Spirit was hovering across the face of the water, waiting for the Word to come forth to activate. See, the Holy Spirit's like that. You ever notice, too, like if you're, I'm a guitar player, so I like the old tube amps, right? And they're, I love those old tube amps. I just love those old, I got tube amps at home. Create them at night. I love them so much. I love my tube amps. Old school, right? But what there is a little standby in it. When you flip the power on, and the little light glows, and you can see the tubes glow in the background, and they're just, well, the power's waiting, but the standby, when you flip the standby, that's when the noise comes. That's when the volume, that's when the rumble comes. My girls, the girls are always like, Dad, you have to play so loud. You're too loud. If it's too loud, you're too old, baby. That's right. But that standby is right there. The power's there. See, the power's there. The tubes are glowing. The lights are on. I mean, there's just happiness, anticipation, waiting right there. And the Holy Ghost is like that. Once we flip the standby, turn it the standby off, and we're on power now, that's like the Holy Ghost, He engages us. He's there waiting for us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. See, He's with us all the time, waiting for us to speak out in tongues to engage the power. He's that standby switch. The power's there. The power, the load is ready. It's active. It's ready to go. It's just whether we're going to flip that switch on, speak in tongues, and the power flows, right? Verse 26, we're closing here. But the Comforter, there's a Comforter again. You notice how He talks about Him as Comforter, right? The standby, there's that standby, right? I just talked about, that's why they call it the standby switch. Turn the standby. Even the Bible uses standby. Why? It means the power is already there. He's waiting for the switch to turn on. The Comforter, the Holy, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. You got a problem you don't know, the teacher's right there, right? He's going to teach you things. He's going to show you. He's going to reveal some things. How many need some revelation, right? I need revelation. You need revelation. He's there to teach you and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Sometimes I just need remembrance, right? You know, I can't explain it. Sometimes, you know, those of you who have taken tests, like maybe you take an insurance license test or a securities license test or something like that. Those tests, I know I'm going to get, but I'm just saying, they are just a cram dump. I mean, let's just face it, right? I mean, it's just, I'm getting the test done. I'm going to do this. What do you do? You need to bring back to remembrance. The Holy Ghost will help bring back remembrance to you sometimes. That you do need. And He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we're going to see during these times also manifestation, you're going to see peace. You're going to experience peace. You want to have peace in your life? Pray in tongues more. Read the Word more. Right? You're not going to have, anxiety. It says not as the world gives, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, Jesus always talks about so much the Holy Spirit being the Comforter, the Advocate, the Guide, full of peace, full of comfort, truth, bring back remembrance, having knowledge, teaching you things. So not only do we see functions of the church, your private prayer time, but as you pray in tongues, these things will begin to more manifested in your life. Right? The peace, the things going on in your life, right? When you pray out mysteries, I'm telling you what right now, I just see 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14, verse 2. That is a blank check. for you to pray out anything you need. Mysteries. Whether for it's your job, your business, relationships, I mean, finances, you know, you got anxiety, fears, whatever it is. When you're praying those things out, you are demolishing hell. You are destroying the works of the devil, right? When you're praying things out. I'm telling you what, right now, you just will not have, often you're just not going to see things in your life until you spend time just praying things out. Adrian was listening to Brother Hagin. Man, I love Papa Hagin. I miss him so much. I just miss he's just so incredible. But one of the things he said, he says basically like 97% of our counseling problems would disappear if we spent more time praying the Holy Ghost. More time in the Word. Praying the Holy Ghost. Right? And I'm the advocate too of I want to help people, but on the other hand, it's like if you just pray in the Holy Ghost, spend more time, hours often praying the Holy Ghost, things just kind of fix themselves. Right? Because I knew a pastor that he'd have people that came to him all the time. What should I do about this? What should I do about this? And I'm here to help people. I want to talk, we're talking things out. But one time somebody came to him and was like, should I take a job? Should I get a job here? And he's like, why are people asking me this stuff? You need to go to the Holy Ghost, right? You got to go to the Holy Ghost yourself. You've got to develop prayer time with him. That's how people are going to mature. That's how you're going to hear from God yourself, is to begin to listen to him, pray in the Holy Ghost, hear his voice, and rest in him. Amen?
Amen.
The biggest mistakes, I didn't listen to the Holy Ghost, and I knew I missed it. There was one time I had and we'll talk more about being led by the Spirit, because I think it's very important, but I remember one time I was, and sometimes it's good to crash and burn. Sometimes it's okay to make mistakes, right? You need to look back. But I remember I was doing a business one time, and I was signing on the line, and on the inside I kept having this empty feeling, but I overwrote it, like, oh, I'm going to do this. And it was a mess. And I'm like, I repented, and the Holy Ghost says, when you feel this, back out. And that's been my gauge my whole life, was when I feel that, when I'm fellowship with the Holy Spirit and I sense that hopelessness, that just empty feeling on subjects, I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. Sometimes we just need to crash and burn for the Holy Ghost to kind of show us things like, okay, I tried to tell you there, that's what it looked like when I'm pulling away. You need to be obedient in this area. That's why it's important to be praying the Holy Ghost, spend time with the Holy Ghost and the Word, is just because you'll run into those situations before. And I've had things with the church, the past couple of years, that it's like I start doing something on the inside, I'm like, oh gosh, I got that feeling again. The Holy Ghost is like, remember this feeling? I'm like, yeah. I don't like that feeling. But it's good to know, amen? It's good to know that sinking feeling, like Brother Hagin said, it's like that velvety feeling inside when you get, where it's like, oh, you have the peace, but that scratchy feeling inside that you don't have peace, that's what the Holy Spirit is pulling away, saying, uh-uh, nope, this isn't it. And so when you spend time with him, get to know him, and he shows things to you, walk with him long enough, and you're like, eh, then you'll get those things. Amen. And that's where you want to develop your spirit, man, to be able to discern between him and your flesh, what you're trying to do, and where he's leading you to. Father, we come before you tonight. I thank you, Holy Ghost. Jesus, 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 thank you for the Holy Ghost. We love you, Holy Ghost. We thank you so much for your blessings and your ministry in our lives, Lord God. God, we cling to your word, Lord. We cling to your ministry, Holy Spirit, to be a we thank you that you continued the ministry of Jesus here on this earth, and we thank you for your blessings. We give you glory in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I went a little longer, but amen. So we got some good things ahead in the weeks to come. So same bat channel, same bat time. We'll follow up. Amen.